Rob, top five musical crimes perpetrated by Stevie Wonder in the 80s and 90s, go. Sub-question, is it in fact unfair to criticize a formerly great artist for his latter-day sins? Is it better to burn out than to fade away?
Mark Willard is out, so Dieter Kurtenbach is in on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Danny Dunn with the pole and a half, high fidelity. Barry Jive in the Uptown Five. That's the question, man. Is it better to burn out or to fade away? I don't know. I've been burned out for about 10 years now, so it doesn't really apply. I don't know if I'm fading away. I'm certainly fading, though. Jeez Louise. Let's talk to Connor Letourneau about it. He covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle, and he joins us now on the UMA guest line. Connor, how was your All-Star break, my friend?
It was good, man. I got out of town for a couple of days, got a little bit of a breather, and covered what was a surprisingly enjoyable actual All-Star day, you know, with the game and the three-point contest. I actually enjoyed it, so it was good.
I'm with you 100% on enjoying the All-Star game. I've been boycotting it for years because I used to watch it, and then I realized I don't have to do that to myself. Apparently, I had nothing better going on Sunday. It seems like I was in good company. Maybe it's this damn pandemic stopping all of our social lives. But, I sat down. It was highly enjoyable. It helps when Steph Curry just decides, let's make this fun. And that's something that he hasn't really been able to do much this season for the Warriors because, well, he's got to work so damn hard to get anything that he needs to get done. When you look at the second half for the season for the Warriors, the big question, we were just talking about it, you know, should they go all in? Is it better to go, you know, push all your chips to the middle of the table and see what happens or to stay relevant for a long time? I want to ask you about that in a moment. But when you look at the second half of the season, with the guys they have on this roster, who needs to step up the most?
That's a good question. I can name a few names, but the first one that comes to mind is James Wiseman.
Wow.
James, it's a fascinating dilemma that Steve Kerr has faced this season in that, you know, he needs to develop James. James's development is as important as any priority this team faces this season. But at the same time, the Warriors obviously are vying for a playoff berth. They're right on the edge of the playoff picture. And James, statistically, has not helped them win games. They are better when he's on the bench than when he's on the floor. And you saw kind of a changing of the tide, I think, a little bit in that Phoenix game right before the All-Star break where Steve said, basically, screw it. I'm putting him in the starting lineup. We have to develop this guy. We have to give him bigger minutes. And I think they're going to continue to do that in the second half of the season. But I think the Warriors are desperately hoping that he has somewhat of a breakthrough sometime here in the coming weeks, which you often see from rookies. You know, it takes them a few months to kind of figure it out. And then after the All-Star break, the light will go on and they'll put things together. And it's not that he's been bad. I mean, statistically, he's been very good. But anyone who's watching the games can see that he's in the wrong place on the floor a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. He makes a lot of mistakes, and that should be expected from a 19-year-old kind of navigating his first NBA minutes. But I think it would help them a lot if he could kind of figure things out sooner rather than later.
What does figuring it out look like? What are the things that they need more from him? Because there have been moments, there have been spurts where he's spectacular, and you can see why they're all in on him. But to be all in on a 19-year-old when you have a 33-year-old Stephen Curry playing at an MVP level feels a little ridiculous. I'll just say that. I understand that you got to develop this guy, but isn't it more important to, you know, worry about the guy that you actually already have? Isn't one in the hand better than two in the bush, or pick number two in the bush? If Wiseman is, in fact, the priority, What are they looking for from him other than his head not spinning every time he's on the floor?
Well, first of all, if you're going to maximize Steph's prime and what's left of his prime, you need Wiseman to be a real factor going forward. I don't think there's a situation where this team is a legitimate title contender and Wiseman's a non-factor. That's why this is so important right now. It's not just about this season. It's not just about making the playoffs. It's about the long-term outlook of this franchise. But specifically what they want, what they need from him right now, I think most of it's on the defensive end. You know, defensively, he's just all over the place. He really needs to work on his help side defense. He hasn't figured out kind of the nuances of the Warriors' defensive scheme. And a lot of times you'll see like all these guys are on a string, but then James is kind of over doing his own thing, and he'll leave a wide open lane for a layup. And, you know, you saw the other night something like that happen, and Steve just went off on him and called a timeout. You know, that's happened a few times, which is why Steve was as frustrated as he was.
Right.
Offensively, you know, some of the same stuff. He just has to kind of figure out, you know, a lot of the reads and some of the nuances of their system. But I think defensively, it's a bigger concern right now.
Do you think the Warriors are putting him in a position to succeed on the offensive end? I see a lot of post-ups. I see a lot of sort of classic center things where this is a guy who, I know this term has now fallen out of favor around the NBA. This is a guy with a unicorn skill set. This is a guy who I want facing the basket and, you know, making him run the triangle with his back to the basket or, you know, whatever qualifies as the triangle in Steve Kerr's motion offense. It still has triangle aspects. Doesn't feel like something that, one, helps him right now, two, helps the Warriors right now, or three, really even needs to be developed given the way that the game is going. Do you think that Kerr and his staff have to wear any of James Wiseman's less than stellar, you know, not exactly head start development right now?
I think that's part of it. I think they're still figuring out exactly how to use him, but to me it's not so much the positions they're putting him in, it's actually the lineup specifically.
Okay.
You know, they've tinkered with when he's come into games a lot. You know, that second unit with him and Pascal obviously was not working.
Right.
And you know, I think that you're going to help alleviate some of those concerns by just going all in and starting him and letting him play through mistakes and because the reality is, for him to be a factor and for him to grow at the rate you want him to, he needs to learn how to play alongside Steph and Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
That just has to happen. So the more minutes you can get with all those guys together, even if, you know, it doesn't look pretty right now, it's important. You know, you need to do that.
What do the Warriors do with Kelly Oubre? This is a significant conundrum because when he was playing like garbage, they actually had a chance of re-signing him. And now that he's playing well, he was fantastic in the month of February, the Warriors are looking at an offseason where he's a free agent. They can only offer him a 20% raise because of the Bird right rules. And he's probably not going to be a starter on this team next year if he were to come back because Klay Thompson's coming back and Andrew Wiggins is probably coming back too. And so now the Warriors are going to have to compete with, they know exactly how much they can offer him. Someone might come in with above 20%. And they can't offer him a starting role in good conscience. Should they just get off of this now? Should they get ahead of this, lest they lose him for nothing? What do you think they do?
I'm of the mind that if they believe that they're not going to be able to re-sign him, and they should, I'm sure they're doing their due diligence to try to figure that out right now.
Yeah.
If they believe that they're not going to be able to bring him back, then they definitely need to make a deal at the deadline involving him because his market value is at an all-time high. The fact that he's played as well as he had the past couple, I want to say months, maybe 6 weeks, has been really beneficial in terms of that. You know, you're going to get much better offers at the deadline than you otherwise would because this is a guy who's obviously on an expiring deal. So there's going to be teams that are going to kind of be enticed by that. You know, you not only do you get someone who can help you with a potential playoff push, but you can also get someone who can kind of help maybe relieve your luxury tax burden come the end of the season. So he's really enticing, but I think that if you're a Warriors fan and you want that to happen, you need to be realistic about the kind of package you're going to get. You know, you're not going to get someone with commensurate value, with commensurate talent levels as Oubre. You're going to get more of kind of just like a solid rotation guy.
Right.
You know, names that I've heard are Larry Nance Jr., Thaddeus Young. You know, these are guys who are still in their prime, who can be helpful rotation players for a good team, but they're not nearly as dynamic as Kelly Oubre. But personally, I think even if you have a trade on the table for one of those guys and you believe that he's not coming back, you need to pull the trigger because ultimately it's all about next season and it's all about getting a bench that you feel comfortable with and getting a good 8-9 man rotation. And I think either of those guys, just as examples, could be guys who could be your seventh, eighth men on a good team. So I like that possibility, but you know, it's hard to predict exactly what Oubre is thinking. You know, my guess is that he wants to be a go-to option
right
somewhere, which obviously is not going to be the case. The Warriors, if I'm his agent or if I'm him, I'm thinking more long-term and I'm thinking, you know what? I can come back to the Warriors, be a sixth man on a potential title contender, learn from these greats in Draymond and Steph and Clay. And then if I stick around long enough in a few years, those guys are declining production. Then I can become like a face of the franchise of this team that's been nationally relevant for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I think he should look at it, but I don't know if he is. So I think more than likely he wants to go put up 20 points per game somewhere, which makes me think he's probably not going to come back.
He'll go with the vibes, Connor, and I appreciate that. He stays with the vibes. He's going to ride the waves, and we don't we're squares. We don't touch stuff like that. We're not on that same wavelength. You said now a couple of times it's all about next year and that they're building towards next year. Come next year, is this team a title contender? Because right now they're going to be in the play-in tournament unless they get their act together at another level, unless they start playing better. And it sounds like if they're going to go all in on Wiseman, I mean, that could very well be a quasi-white flag, an off-white flag towards this year, and just conceding that even if there's nothing we can do. There's no way we can even, you know, compete for a title. Maybe we get one round in the playoffs, that's it. But is that kind of, if you add Klay Thompson to the mix, if you get one more year of development with James Wiseman, is that enough? Is that enough to get the Warriors into title contention? That feels like a stretch in and of itself.
I think, you also have to factor in the Minnesota pick. I think if they're able to get the fourth or fifth pick in this draft, I think you can get someone like a Jalen Suggs or maybe a Jalen Green, both of whom would be, in my opinion, immediate difference makers, guys who can help you right away in that rotation.
But Connor, isn't that what they said about Wiseman? It wasn't one of the reasons that the Warriors sold when they drafted Wiseman is he can help Steph now. And now it's clear that, again, he's 19. I'm not crapping on the kid. I can't imagine how much his head is spinning. It's totally unfair circumstances to be a 19-year-old and to be an important player on a team that's trying to win. But wouldn't Suggs or any of the Jalens that you could get at 4 or 5, wouldn't they be in the exact same situation?
Yeah, my personal opinion is that all those guys are better than James.
That is fair analysis.
Talking to draft experts, they've all said that there's about 5 or 6 guys in this draft who would have been the number one pick in last year's draft.
Okay.
Over James Wiseman or Anthony Edwards. And so I personally think, I mean, I don't know how many Gonzaga games you've watched this season, but
a couple. He's real good.
Jalen Suggs is the guy to me that looks like an NBA player in every way right now.
Yeah.
And really looks to me like a guy who could lead your second unit yesterday.
Okay.
And I think you would have a shot at him at 4 or 5, which is crazy. So if they can get, you know, that fourth or fifth pick, I think that they might have enough to be a legitimate title contender. I'm not saying they should be the front runner by any stretch
right
of the imagination, but you know, if Wiseman can continue to grow and Clay is 100% healthy and like everything else goes their way, I think they can have a chance, but there's no guarantees. That's for sure.
We're learning it. Every time you come on, though, Connor, it's a guarantee that we're going to get great insight and analysis, and you delivered once again. Thank you, my friend, for coming on. I'm sorry that this schedule is going to get fast and furious again. I'm sorry the break isn't a little bit longer for you. I honestly am, because it wasn't until the first half was over that I realized just how tired I was, and you work way harder than me. So appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you taking some of the precious time you have before chaos reigns in your life once again, and talking some Dubs here on the Leaderman.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.